मोकम करोति वाचालम पंगुम लंघयते गिरिम यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्रीगुरो दीनतारिणम परमानंदमाधवम श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 14। प्लीज चैंट। इति विज्ञापितो देवैर् भगवान आत्मभूर्नृपा परितो भृगो दक्षाद्यैर् ययो दैतेश्वर शमम् Translation, O King, being thus informed by demigods, the most powerful Lord Brahma, accompanied by Bhrigu, Daksha and other great sages, immediately started for the place where Hiranyakashipu was performing his penances and austerities. So here we are seeing a very amazing personality, Hiranyakashipu. And what is this Hiranyakashipu doing? He's doing a tapasya, which was never done before and which will never be done later. So never ever anyone can think of doing what Hiranyakashipu did. So this tapasya of Hiranyakashipu is described that he was standing on his toes with his arms raised. He was not chanting Hare Krishna. And he was looking up in the sky. And to such an extent, the tapa, the heat which was there in his body was coming out through his head and was burning. It was creating so much of heat even in the planets of demigods. And then all the demigods, they went to Brahma and they tried convincing Brahma. They used a Brahmastra saying, he's trying to acquire your position. Do something. The Brahminical culture and the cows will not be saved. Please do something. And then immediately, as soon as Brahma heard, immediately he started for the place. So who all are accompanying Brahma? Bhrigu, Daksha and other great sages. So all of them are sons of Brahma. So all of them, they started. Purport. Lord Brahma was waiting for the austerities performed by Hiranyakashipu to mature so that he could go there and offer benedictions according to Hiranyakashipu's desire. Now, taking the opportunity of being accompanied by all the demigods and great saintly persons, Brahma went there to award him the benediction he desired. Text 15, 16. Lord Brahma, who is carried by a swan airplane, at first could not see where Hiranyakashipu was. For Hiranyakashipu's body was covered by an anthill and by grass and bamboo sticks, because Hiranyakashipu had been there for a long time. The ants had devoured his skin, fat, flesh and blood. Then Lord Brahma and the demigods spotted him, resembling a cloud-covered sun. Heating all the world by his austerity, struck with wonder, Lord Brahma began to smile and then addressed him as follows. Have you ever faced such a situation where ants are eating our body? Every day, with soap, we keep clearing our body. Try to wash our body. But look at this. What tapasya this is. What tapasya. Where the skin is eaten up, the fat is eaten up. I mean, there's no muscle, there's no blood. Only on the bones this person is standing. Skeleton. And then the anthill is built on the entire body. And obviously we're talking about Satyuga. So you can imagine the height of the person. And then you can imagine the anthill's height. And then you can imagine the fire coming out from the body of the person. So it's huge. It's huge. And here Hiranyakashipu was doing all this tapasya to get what? To get something which is not normal. He wanted to rule the entire world. He wanted to be the great personality who can take over the entire world. This is not something which is natural. Right? This is not something which is constitutional. So if Hiranyakashipu can do this tapasya to get something which is not natural, why can't we become devotees? Because see, to become a devotee means it's a natural constitutional position. Natural. It's not that something abnormal or something which is against our nature. Our inherent nature our inherent constitutional position is we are servant of Krishna. Das, das, anudas. That's what is our position. We are servants of Krishna. So this is a natural position. Being a servant of Krishna is a natural position. But unfortunately, since we are also minute Hiranyakashipus and minute Ravanas, so what has happened is, since we are there in this material world for a very, very long time, so we are here and trying to take over or lord it over the material nature. Prabhupada uses the word, lord it over the material nature. Or try to become the master of various things around. Just imagine a servant trying to become the master. What will happen? So we all are like that. No, we all are trying to become masters. So here Hiranyakashipu, we might feel, oh, Hiranyakashipu is asking for, you know, so many benedictions, and I'm sure you all might be knowing what all benedictions he had asked. Anyways, it will come in the future. It's verses. So we might think, oh, how can Hiranyakashipu ask such benedictions? Oh, it's so unnatural. But then what about us? What are we asking for? We want to enjoy. We want to do sense gratification. Sense gratification, enjoyment to become master is absolutely against our nature. Absolutely against our nature. Just imagine your maid servant. Oh, I shouldn't speak about maid servant. That will pinch your heart. I heard maid servants are not allowed in the house. I mean, in the apartments. But anyways, for example, we can take. Just to cite, you know, tangent. I got a message where, you know, a lady has written some letter to written a request, you know, to the chairman of the apartment that see, if you don't allow the maid servants to come, I don't know if I'll die out of corona, but for sure I'll die because of working at home. So I was laughing like anything reading that. Anyways, so let's consider this example. Suppose the maid servant in your house, she comes to your house and then she just comes and she sits on the sofa and then switches on the TV and then she's, you know, watching TV and then she's ordering you. Maim saab, ek cup chai leke aana. Are, maim saab bhi bol rahi hai. She's calling master. She's telling, oh master, get me one cup of tea. Now, this situation is so weird, don't you think so? Where the maid servant is sitting and ordering the master. That's what we are doing. We are servants and we are ordering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. This is what we are desiring. We are ordering. We are ordering Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this order is so abominable because what are we trying to do? What is this order all about? To do better sense gratification. Now, sense gratification and the constitutional position of Jivatma. So we are servants and sense gratification does not go together. Does not go together. It's totally poles apart. Now, servant and enjoyment are poles apart. But when we try to get it closer, or when we try to do this particular act of sense gratification or desire for sense gratification, what happens is lots of problems will creep in. Just imagine the maid servant is ordering for tea. What will happen with her? Similar is our case. And here Maya Shakti, she keeps seeing, "Are, you're a servant. How can you desire this? How can you do sense gratification?" And with the Trishul, she just keeps poking us like anything. Adi bhautika klesha, adi atmika klesha, adi daivika klesha. Sufferings caused by one's own self, by other living entities and by daiva. All these three kleshas keep hitting us every now and then. You know what or why? Why they keep hitting us? Only to remind us you are not the master. You are a servant. You cannot give orders. You cannot enjoy. This is what it tells again and again. This also, this pandemic which is there around corona, this is also telling us the same thing. You cannot enjoy. You cannot. You are not the enjoyer. And whenever this enjoying tendency goes up, when the Hiranyakashipu tendency goes up, so that time, all the problems will come. All the problems will come. Now you tell me, is it difficult to become servant? Is it difficult to become servant? Pretty, very, very simple. Like for example, when you all come to PK Sports, no, I see some people serving prasadam and some people folding the mats and so many things, you know, you all do. So, is it difficult? But then to become a master, it's so difficult. You see your own example. You take your own example in office. Now for promotion, to become master. Master ka master. That's what, you know, is all about. Climbing the corporate ladder. So difficult that is. So difficult. Because to become a master in this world is unnatural. That is totally opposite to our constitutional position. But to become a servant is very, very natural. And that is the reason, you know, when we call devotees at home and, you know, we serve with utter humility and, you know, to their full satisfaction, what happens? We feel very satisfied. Now, this is, you know, for materialists, it will be very difficult to digest also. You call many people at home and you're slogging like anything, and then you serve everyone. And you know, you are not yet taken dinner. You have not yet taken your meal. And with that empty stomach, you're serving everyone and still you're feeling very happy. Why? Because that service that we're doing, we are able to connect directly with the spirit soul. Because spirit soul's natural constitutional position is to serve. Natural constitutional position is to serve. That's what we are doing when it comes to bhakti. That's what we are doing. We are trying to convert our mentality of Hiranyakashipu or of becoming master to becoming a servant. That's what is all this sadhana process that we are doing. This sadhana process is what? You know, when we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What are we doing? We are actually calling out, O Hara, O Radharani, O Krishna, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are calling out for the lordships and we are saying, what are we saying? What does this Maha Mantra all talks about? Please engage me in your service. Please accept me as your servant. We are reminding ourselves that I'm servant. So just imagine 16 rounds into 108 times, we are reminding ourselves I'm a servant. And then, you know, when we come to you know, devotee association or, you know, any association like that, satsang, then what position do we take? We take the position of a servant. And what do we call others as? Prabhu. Prabhuji. So we take a natural position. We take that position which is natural for us. And I've seen in devotee circle, calling, you know, some devotee with name becomes very difficult. Very difficult. But in corporate, it's normal. In fact, if you call them as sir, then they're like, hey, who is sir? No, call me by my name. Yes. And it feels very odd, you know, initially at least, you know, I'm sure all of you might have felt, you know, it feels odd. Someone who is elder and you have to call him by name. Why did we feel that odd? Because that's not our natural position. That's not at all our natural position. But when it comes to calling Prabhu, as soon as people come to ISKCON and when they get to know you have to call Prabhu, it's so natural. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Mataji. In fact, it goes to such an extent that husband start calling wife as Mataji. Many times devotees come and they say, bro, my Mataji is doing this. I said, your mother does not come for any program. No, my Mataji. I said, yeah, your mother. No, my wife. Yeah, this is another thing. So husbands cannot call the wife as Mataji. Maybe we can say that, suppose you have a son named Rahul. So we can say Rahul's mother. Or my wife. My wife is not a right way to say, you know, someone's mother, or I can say my Ardhangini or whatever. Are there other terms also which devotees use? You can learn that. Or we can take the name also. So in this way, we see that, you know, calling Prabhu, calling Mataji means giving a higher position to someone else and taking a lower position is very, very natural to all of us. This proves that our constitutional position is to become a servant, to be a servant. And Prabhupada mentions in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, I hope you might have read that, A serving B, B serving C, C serving D, you know, he goes on to say that. Wherein he's saying that even if, you know, the person is the president of the country, still he's serving. Still he's serving. And when it comes to home, the husband is serving wife, wife is serving husband. And then when the person goes to office, he's serving the boss, he's serving the company. But obviously, we're just serving everywhere. We're just serving. But what do we say? I'm a master. I'm a controller. We don't say that, but implicitly, that is proven. We are trying to become masters. But the activity that we're doing is of servant. Everywhere the activity that we're doing is of servant. Everywhere. And sometimes when there are no people at home, I mean, either it's a divorce or people have died or whatever, and the person is single, that person keeps a dog. Someone has to serve, no? So he keeps a dog and starts serving the dog. And in fact, in foreign countries, it's very nice where they pick up the stool also of the dog and put it in the bag, or else they'll be fined for it. So in this way, we see that our constitutional position is to serve. Our constitutional position is to become, our constitutional position is devotee of Krishna. So tell me, why is it difficult to become devotee of Krishna then? It's very, very simple. If Hiranyakashipu can achieve something which is something really, very, very unnatural, trying to rule the entire universe, very unnatural. So if a person like Hiranyakashipu can get that position, which is very unnatural for him also, because even he is a servant of Krishna, then tell me, how is it very difficult for a devotee to become a devotee? For a servant to become a servant. So when we are doing devotional service, it's very natural for all of us, very natural. But the only problem is there are lots of covering on it. Lots of covering is there on our consciousness. And because of that, our consciousness has got contaminated. And that Ishwara Bhava, the master or the controllership mentality has come. And because of that, even when we are a servant, we are taking an unnatural position to become a master. And since we take the position of a master, we face lots of problems. All the distress in life is only because of this. Only because of this. Like for example, you feel that you're a great person, and then someone comes and insults us. Now, someone comes and insults us, we become crazy. But you see, a humble maidservant who is there at home, you scold her, she'll be like, okay. Or you see a beggar, and then you tell something to a beggar, and the beggar will not reply, or he'll not taking some revenge or revolting. I'm talking about humble ones. Nowadays, Kali Yuga. So, why? Because they understand, that is their position. That is their position. In fact, I was hearing in one of the class, very amazing example that was. I think I've spoken this before also, but no problem. We can keep repeating. At least I'm a Kali Yuga, so I have to repeat myself. So, the example was, that when the person is going in the train, we see a lot of beggars. Again, humble beggars. They sit down. They'll not sit on the seat even if it's vacant. And suppose you ask them to sit, they'll say, no, I'm not eligible to sit here. Now just imagine if we were there and then someone asks us explicitly, sit down. Can you imagine what will happen? We'll throw him out of the train. Why is it that the beggar is able to sit on the floor and we are not able to sit on the floor? Because that person now has taken that low position. And we are thinking that we are someone great. And as soon as someone hurts that mentality of we being great, and we call that in local terms or in common terms as ego. When someone takes a hammer and hits our ego, or just touches our ego also, we come up like a snake to bite the person. And then we take it to our heart, and we start feeling so bad about it. Just imagine someone calls you, hey, you're a servant. You're a maid servant or whatever. We'll go crazy. Abhi to theek hai, abhi itna classes suna, itna maar khaya classes mein to theek. Abhi to kuch nahi lagega. Now we'll not feel anything. But if you call any of the materialist that you're a servant, they will go crazy. They'll say, tu hai servant, main nahi. And at that time, maybe we'll say, yes, I am. So why do we literally become distressed in our life? Please analyze this point. Just a takeaway for today. Please analyze this point. Why do we get distressed in our life? Why do we feel sad? Every situation you just analyze. either you'll see that you have not got something which you were desiring for. So it's like the king claps the hand and says, "Chappan bhog leke aao." And suppose it doesn't come, we'll go crazy, right? That's what is our position. We desire something, we don't get it, we feel sad first. Second, when someone comes and touches our ego, we become crazy. And when it comes to dealing normally with people, and if someone takes over our position anywhere, we go crazy. When someone starts competing with us, we go crazy. And we become envious of people who are growing. Every place you just analyze, every place we are just trying to put ourselves at the top of other person and trying to become the master. And that is the only reason. That's the only reason why we are suffering in this world. We being servant, trying to artificially become the master only for this reason we are suffering. The day we come back to our servitude, the attitude of servantship, attitude of a servant, automatically you'll see how blissful the life will be. That's how we see that when a person becomes a pure devotee, he's out of this world. Because here everyone wants to become master and he is servant, so no competitor. I heard a nice analogy. So there are two counters. And there's a big queue in one counter, kilometers together. And there are hardly some people on the other counter. So this big queue, which is there, that's all about the ones who they want to become masters. And where hardly some people are present, that counter is people are trying to become servants. So why to have competition? Why to have competition? Let's go to the place where there are few people and try to serve them also. We'll be very happy. We'll be very happy in our lives. But trust me, it's not easy. To become a servant, to become humble, to not become master, it's very difficult. Very difficult. But a person who is sincerely desiring to become servant of Krishna, a person who is sincerely practicing bhakti, such a person for sure, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, such a person will be able to become servant. Such a person will be able to become a very nice devotee. Very nice devotee. Yes. So in this way we see that if Hiranyakashipu can try to do something to come up and become something, which is unnatural, why can't we become devotees? Why can't we become servants, which is our constitutional position? And so this is what I was trying to put forward. Let's read the purport. The living entity can live merely by his own power, without the help of skin, marrow, bone, blood, and so on, because it is said, asango yam purushaha. The living entity has nothing to do with the material covering. So this is a nice philosophical point. What is this talking about? This is talking about the living entity, the spirit soul, does not need this body to sustain. So when the living entity starts feeling now, when death happens, so what is that death? I'm sure now you all can give class on the topic death. So what is death all about? The soul coming out of the body, that is death. And when the soul is coming out of the body, it feels a lot of pain because it is attached to the body. The soul feels that I need this body. But in reality, the soul does not need anything. Soul does not need the subtle body. Soul does not need the gross body. Soul is independent. Satchit Ananda. That is what is the quality of soul. So now, when it comes to we assuming that I need this body is a false thing. So a spirit soul can live without the body. It does not need this body made up of flesh, blood and bones and mucus and bile and stool and urine. It doesn't need this body. So when we are practicing bhakti, this is what is the understanding that a devotee gets. For a materialist, he cannot imagine about not having a body. Because this body is a means or a vehicle to do sense gratification. And as soon as you remove the body from the life of the person, he'll go crazy. Aray, aise kaise bol sakte? So they cannot imagine. But when it comes to devotees, they understand this philosophy very clearly. That spirit soul does not need this body. Spirit soul is independent. But spirit soul thinks that I need this body and it is holding on to the subtle body. It is holding on to the gross body. And that is the reason we are there in this world, lifetime after lifetime, stuck in the cycle of birth and death. That's what first line means. Hiranyakashipu performed a severe type of tapasya austerity for many long years. Indeed, it is said that he performed the tapasya for 100 heavenly years. So one, what is the calculation? One day in the heavenly planets is 6 months on earthly planet. I repeat, one day in the heavenly planet is 6 months on the earthly planet. So you can calculate, what does it mean? Many long celestial years. So huge. Since one day of the demigods, okay, it's already given. One day of the demigods equals 6 of our months. Certainly this was a very long time. By nature's own way, his body had been almost consumed by earthworms, ants, and other parasites. And therefore, even Brahma was at first unable to see him. Later, however, Brahma could ascertain where Hiranyakashipu was. And Brahma was struck with wonder to see Hiranyakashipu's extraordinary power to execute tapasya. Anyone would conclude that Hiranyakashipu was dead because his body was covered in so many ways. But Lord Brahma, the supreme living being in this universe, could understand that Hiranyakashipu was alive but covered by material elements. It is also to be noted that although Hiranyakashipu performed this austerity for a long, long time, he was nonetheless known as a Daitya and Rakshasa. It will be seen from the verses to follow that even great saintly persons could not perform such a severe type of austerity. Why then was he called a Rakshasa and Daitya? It is because whatever he did was for his own sense gratification. So here, when we are doing a devotional service, when we are doing any tapasya, and in turn we ask for something material for our sense gratification, then we are qualified to get the title of Rakshasa or Daitya. Mr. Rakshasa or Miss Rakshasa, Rakshasi or whatever. Yes, we are qualified to get this title. So when we are doing tapasya, when you are fasting, when we are doing devotional service, the only thing that we have to ask from the Lord is, I want you. That's it. I don't want anything else in this life. I just want you. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to always chant your holy names. I want to always have your darshan. I want to always remember you. Every single moment I want to remember you. Please help me. This is what I want. I don't want anything else apart from this. I want you, O Lord. I want you in my life. Because what is missing in our life is Krishna. Everything else is there in our life. All kachara is there in our life. Except kachara, there is nothing. Except garbage, there is nothing. So once Krishna comes, this garbage can be removed. Yes. So once Krishna comes, then we'll have some substance in our life. And when that substance is there in our life, we'll be very satisfied. We'll be very happy. So what we have to ask for is also an art, which we are learning in devotional service. Through Bhagavatam, anyways, when Prahlad Maharaj's pastime will come, it will come. When it will come, so at that time we'll see what is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, what is he asking for. And even you see in Amrish Maharaj's case, what was his mood? So in this way, when we read Bhagavatam, that's what we understand that what should be the mood of a devotee, what should he ask for? What should he ask for? I came across a very nice shloka. Now it says, Na naka prashtam na cha paryameshtam na sarva bhavamam na rasadipatyam na yoga siddher apunar bhavam va samanjasatva virahaya kaanshe. Here a devotee who is in the body of a demon, one day will take this pastime as a Vritrasura. We will not be able to hold our emotions when we read that pastime. A demon, a body of a demon, but he's a devotee with him. And then he's offering prayer to the Lord. And he's saying that, Na naka prashtam. I don't want heavenly planets. I don't want even Dhruvaloka. Na paryameshtam. I don't want to have even Brahmaloka. I don't want to go to Brahmaloka. Then he says, Na sarobhamam. I don't want to rule this entire world. Na sarobhamam. Na rasadipatyam. I don't want to become the king of the entire Rasatala planets, the 7 planetary systems below. And then he says, Na yoga siddhir, I don't want any yogic powers of becoming smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest, lighter than the lightest, heavier than the heaviest. I don't want all these things. Then if the Lord is asking, you want liberation? Apunar bhavanva, I don't want liberation also. Then what do you want? Oh Lord, I just want you. If any of it takes me away, virahaya kaankshe, virahaya takes me away, separates me from you, I don't want all these things. I don't want all these things. So when we read, you know, such things, and when we understand, then we understand, oh, okay, this is what is the mood of a devotee. A mood of a devotee is, I don't want anything, O Lord, I just want you. Many, many lifetimes I've desired so much. Now I'm desiring for you. Exclusively I'm desiring that I want you, O Lord. So this is what we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. But when we desire for something materialistic in this life, Rakshasa and Daitya is the nice title that we'll get. It is because whatever he did was for his own sense gratification. His son Prahlad Maharaj was only 5 years old. And so what could Prahlad do? Yet simply by performing a little devotional service, according to the instructions of Narada Muni, Prahlad became so dear to the Lord that the Lord came to save him, whereas Hiranyakashipu, in spite of all his austerities, was killed. Hiranyakashipu did austerities for many, many celestial years. And then, we can just imagine, Prahlad was 5 years old. And when Hiranyakashipu came back, at that time, Prahlad's mother Kayadu, she gave birth to Prahlad. And when Prahlad was 5 years old, Hiranyakashipu was killed. So, many celestial years he did tapasya. And within 5-6 years, he was killed. it's really humorous. It's really humorous. But what about Prahlad? What was Prahlad doing? He was trying to remember the Lord, chant the holy names. We know how easy it is to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just vibrate the tongue. That's it. And just by doing this, Prahlad became so dear to the Lord that Lord came personally to deliver him. And here, Hiranyakashipu, he became so dear to the Lord that Lord personally came to kill him. So what is the use of such tapasya? That's what is the question that Prabhupada is asking here. This is the difference between devotional service and all other methods of perfection. One who performs severe austerities for sense gratification is fearful to the entire world. Whereas a devotee who performs even a slight amount of devotional service is a friend to everyone. Surdam sarva bhutana. Since the Lord is the well-wisher of every living entity, and since a devotee assumes the qualities of the Lord, a devotee also acts for everyone's good fortune by performing devotional service. Thus, although Hiranyakashipu performed such a severe austerity, he remained a daitya and a rakshasa. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj, although born of the same daitya father, became the most exalted devotee and was personally protected by the Supreme Lord. Bhakti is therefore called Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam, indicating that a devotee is freed from all material designations and Anyabhilashita Shunyam, situated in a transcendental position, free from all material desires. So here we see anyone who becomes a devotee, he becomes a well-wisher of everyone. Now you see materialists, how much they slog. In fact, they do so much of tapasya. Who is that devotee? One of the acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he quotes saying that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sridhar Swami, one of them, they quote saying, devotees should learn from the materialist to do tapasya. Because how much materialist does tapasya? I think we were hearing this in Bhakti Shastri class that early morning the person will get up, early morning. And then maybe sometimes before the devotees also get up. And then he starts for his office, or he starts doing his office work or whatever. And then entire day, hardly he might be eating anything. And then in the evening when he comes, he eats little and again starts working or whatever. So how much tapasya? And when it comes to these scientists, how much they work day and night putting together, and what do they manufacture? Prabhupada says nuclear bombs. And what are these nuclear bombs used for? One bomb and everything is flat. Everything is flat. Now where is well-being of others? So a materialist, even when he does lots of tapasya in his day-to-day life, he can never be a well-wisher of people around. But a devotee is the one who always has that soft corner for each and every person around. Even for a dog, even for a cat, even for an insect, the devotee will have that soft corner. And we have seen devotees doing that. Feeding a dog on the street, or chanting Hare Krishna when some insect is dying. There's so much of compassion. So this is the difference between a materialist and a devotee. A devotee is filled with compassion, and a materialist is filled only with passion. Yeah, so these are the two things, two differences. And also from here we learn that jab passion kam hoga, to compassion aayega. Text 17, translation. Lord Brahma said, O son of Kashyapa Muni. Here he uses the word in the shloka, Kashyapa. Kashyapa means son of Kashyapa. Please get up. Please get up. What is the word that is used here? Uttishta. Uttishto. Uttishta. All good fortune unto you. You are now perfect in the performance of your austerities, and therefore I may give you a benediction. You may now ask from me whatever you desire, and I shall try to fulfill your wish. This is how innocent the demigods are. He's saying, whatever you ask, I'll give. And then after giving, then they'll run to Krishna and they say, kuch to karo, this person, my devotee, you know, he's making me go crazy. Please do something. Sri Madhvacharya quotes from Skanda Puran, which says that Hiranyakashipu, having become a devotee of Lord Brahma, who is known as Hiranyagarbha, and having undergone a severe austerity to please him, is also known as Hiranyaka. Rakshasas and demons worship various demigods, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, just to take the post of these demigods. This we have already explained in previous verses. I'll not elaborate on this. Yes. So, one thing we understand here is when it comes to tapasya, everyone, you know, should get into tapasya for pleasing the Supreme Personality of God. There is no aspiration to please anyone else in this world. Tapasya is done for pleasing the Supreme Personality of God. But here, the tapasya by Brahma, by Hiranyakashipu, is done for Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is Brahma. Brahma is another name. And so here Prabhupada is saying he is also called as Hiranyaka. Hiranyakashipu is also called as Hiranyaka because he tried pleasing Hiranyagarbha. So this tapasya that we do in our life should be only and only and only to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as I already mentioned in the previous class, that in a devotee's life, not much of tapasya is there. It's susukham. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that devotional service is susukham kartum avyayam. He says devotional service is complete. It's full of happiness, full of sukha. And in that, if you're feeling austerity, then we are not doing it properly. So when it comes to the tapasya of a devotee, it's there initially, no doubt about that. Like for example, many times, you know, we have devotees asking this question that, Prabhu, I'm a non-vegetarian. You know, how can I, I'm really attached to it. How can I give it up? Yes, it's a tapasya. No doubt. It's a tapasya. Because something that we've been doing from quite a long time, giving up that particular thing, it's a tapasya. In fact, one of my students, he was telling me that, Prabhu, I've given it up, but then I've got a strong pull, to eat non-veg. What should I do? It's a tapasya. We have to tolerate at that time. Obviously, another point is, if we can have nice, delicious prasadam, then we'll forget about non-veg. So giving up, these unfavorable things like giving up non-veg, giving up intoxication, giving up illicit relations, and giving up the gambling aspect. So all these four which are there, it's not easy. It's not easy. In fact, anyone who does that, that person is doing tapasya. Anyone who gives up non-veg, anyone who gives up alcohol, anyone who gives up illicit connection and gambling mentality, such a person will literally please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Surely he'll please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because why is he giving up all these sense gratificatory activities? Only reason is to attain Krishna. So tell me, why will not Krishna be pleased? So it's an opportunity that every devotee gets in his initial days. Afterwards, this opportunity is not there. Only in the initial days, this opportunity is there to remove all these sinful activities from our life. Removing this meat-eating tendency, or removing this alcohol or intoxication tendency, removing this illicit connection tendency, removing this tendency of gambling. all these desires or all these activities, those are there in our life. Only in the initial days, you know, we get this opportunity. And when we remove that from our life, when anyone stops, you know, eating meat or drinking alcohol, you know, it is seen that person progresses like anything. He jumps. Literally, you know, he jumps like anything. And, you know, he jumps to a certain extent. And after that, yes, you know, he, again, you know, some tapasya, and then again, he'll move ahead. But that jump which is there, that happens when that tapasya is done. Yes, that tapasya has to be done. In our life, that tapasya is needed. And sometimes when devotees are chanting one or two rounds, chanting 16 rounds of tapasya. One devotee was sharing, Prabhuji, one round is like a big mountain. How will I cross this mountain, Prabhuji? I said, start chanting 16 rounds. He's like, Prabhuji, mountain multiplied by 16 times. No, when you start chanting 16 times, at that time, one round will not look like mountain. Right. So, initially, all these things will be like tapasya. And this is the initial, or this is the opportunity that is given only at the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. Then we'll not find what tapasya is there in life. We'll not be able to find. And we want to do some tapasya. So many devotees do all ekadashis, nirjalas. Or many devotees, you know, they take some different vows to do some tapasya. Because explicitly there is no tapasya that is, you know, given forward. Or they cannot see any explicit area for doing tapasya. So they take up some tapasya by themselves. Right? So all the ones who are still there at few rounds, not following regulative principles, please take this opportunity. It's the initial beginning offer that is given by Krishna. Do tapasya. And as soon as anyone takes up tapasya, this particular tapasya very strongly, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at that time he jumps. He jumps like anything. And, you know, he comes to a very, he reaches great heights of devotional service. And from that great height, again, you know, he has to aspire for another great height, because, you know, the height is too high. It's too high to reach Krishna. Yes. But then if a person is struggling to do that tapasya, then it's very difficult, because tapasya needs determination. So ek bar determined ho gaye ki I'll not do this. Like, for example, for the people who are addicted to alcohol or meat, it's not easy. It's not easy. So, you know, that literally that determination is needed. And with determination, when we cut, you know, all this sinful activities from our life, so at that time, these sinful activities were pulling us behind, and when we cut it, automatically we'll, you know, move ahead. No, it will be makhan. It will be cakewalk for some time. Sorry. It will be cakewalk for some time. Okay. So in this way, we see that, you know, when it comes to devotee's life, initial offer is there for everyone. Initial offer is there, and tapasya has to be done. And if Hiranyakashipu can do this tapasya to get some sense gratification, why can't we do tapasya to please the Supreme Personality of God? We can. We can. Another tapasya which I forgot to mention was, now after giving up, you know, non-veg and illicit connection, alcohol, gambling, etc., etc., coming to 16 rounds, when the person comes up to having only prasadam, that's a very nice place where a person can stand. Having only prasadam, not eating anything else. So when a person comes to that point, again there is tapasya. A little bit of tapasya is there. Now when you are just passing by a restaurant, or you're passing by some pani puri thela or, you know, gobi manchurian thela, at that time, you know, the smell, it's, you know, it's subtle, no? It's coming and it's entering the two nostrils which are given. And at that time, no, I cannot. Tapasya. What to do? It's tapasya. And anyone who does this tapasya, Prabhupada says very clearly that such a person will progress on the path of bhakti very fast. He'll advance like anything. So anyone who, you know, is aspiring for such advancement, so these are some of the tapasyas, you know, that can be done. Finishing the rounds early in the morning, tapasya. Because for that we have to get up early. So that's tapasya. To getting up early is tapasya. Doing the same sadhana every day, day in and day out, tapasya. Having only prasadam, tapasya. Making sure we read and hear every single day. That's, you know, very nice. You know, we enjoy doing that, but still we'll call it as tapasya. You know, we're adding, making a list. So having prasadam, it's very nice, but only having prasadam and not having anything else from outside, you know, that's tapasya. So in this, and sleeping early is tapasya. So like this in devotee's life, we have all these, you know, chota 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 tapasya. And anyone who does that chota chota tapasya, and since we are also chota, the Lord says, oh, okay, this chota person doing chota tapasya means, you know, he's doing a big tapasya. Let me bless him. And he blesses. And many, many devotees, we see that anyone, you know, who does these small, small tapasyas, they have progressed like anything on the path of bhakti. They progress like anything. Let's come back to the verse. I have been very much astonished to see your endurance in spite of... Oh, this we completed, no? Purport. No. I have been very much astonished to see your endurance in spite of being eaten and bitten by all kinds of worms and ants. You are keeping your life air circulating within your bones. Certainly, this is wonderful. It appears that soul can exist even through the bones as soon as the personal... As shown by the personal example of Hiranyakashipu. When the great yogis are in samadhi, even when their bodies are buried and their skin, marrow, blood and so on have all been eaten, if only their bones remain, they can exist in a transcendental position. Please don't try all this at home. Very recently, an archaeologist published findings indicating that Lord Christ, after being buried, was exhumed and that he then went to Kashmir. There have been many actual examples of yogis being buried in trance and exhumed alive and in good condition several hours later. A yogi can keep himself alive in a transcendental state even if buried, not only for many days but for many years. See, it's talking about a yogi, not about a bhakta. For us, one Marjila Ekadashi also becomes very difficult. So it's not for us. So I said, don't try this at home. Now don't try to fast for long, long hours. Yes. I'm saying hours, not days also. So eat nicely three times, prasadam, and no, we have to do bhakti very nice. That's what Prabhupada says. He says, chant, dance, feast, and sometimes fast. This is just by doing this, a person will go back to God. Next verse. Even saintly person like Bhrigu. Now Bhrigu is there. Bhrigu is there with Brahma. So they have come together. Even saintly person like Bhrigu, born previously, could not perform such severe austerities. Nor will anyone in the future be able to do so. So it's almost like a parent pulling the child and then, you know, the parent is telling other person, this person is good for nothing. Your child is very nice. You know, he's doing so much of nice activities. But this person will never be able to do all this. Can you imagine how the child will feel? But still parents proceed to do this. So parenting tip. What Brahma is doing, we shouldn't do. So parenting tip is glorification in public and chastisement in private. If you want to chastise your child, now take him in the room and then chastise. But when he is there or she is there in public, only glorification should happen. That, oh, no, my child did this, my child did that. Oh, it's, you know, so nice. He's, you know, he's mature. He's getting matured and whatever you want to say. You have to say all these glorification of the child outside in the public. But when you want to chastise, it should be inside in a room. And most of the time it's opposite. Now, parents do glorification in the room and the chastise outside in the public. That creates a very, very negative impact on the child. Very negative impact on the child because the self-esteem of the child. Kids also have self-esteem. They also have self-respect. So that is pulled down like anything. And then, you know, again and again, the parent keeps saying, kuch bhi nahi karta hai. Nalayak hai ye to. Good for nothing this person is. And then, you know, when the child is studying, etc., this thing will go on in the mind. Anyways, I'm good for nothing. Let me fulfill the purport that my parents have given to me. Or the title that they have given to me. And the child becomes like that. Right? So we shouldn't do what Brahmaji did just now. We shouldn't chastise our kids in public. All chastisement in private. All glorification in public. So glorification has to be done in public. So that person will also feel good. The confidence will be boosted. The moral will be boosted. And then what he says, who within these three worlds can sustain his life without even drinking water for 100 celestial years? He's correct. We cannot think of one day, Nirjala Ekadashi, what to talk about 100 years. It appears that even if a yogi does not drink a drop of water, he can live for many, many years by yogic process. though his outer body be eaten by ants and moths. Anyways, it's something which we cannot do, so we'll not elaborate. Text 20, and this is the last, we'll take this as the last sloka. Okay, we'll take next sloka also, and then we'll end. My dear son of Diti, with your great determination austerity, you have done what was impossible even for great saintly persons. And thus, I have certainly been conquered by you. We can tell Brahma, not yet. You'll understand in future. Hiranyakashipu will conquer you very nicely. In regard to the word Jitaha, Sri Madhva Muni gives the following quotation from Shabda Nirnaya. Parabhutam Vashastam Cha Jitabhid Uchyate Budahi. If one comes under someone else's control or is defeated by another, he is called Jitaha. Hiranyakashipu's austerity was so great and wonderful that even Lord Brahma agreed to be conquered by him. Text 21, O best of the Asuras, for this reason, I am now prepared to give you all benedictions according to your desire. This is a wrong statement that Brahma made, and he'll be suffering for that. I belong to the celestial world of demigods who do not die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subject to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. It appears that human beings and Asuras are subject to death, whereas demigods are not. Demigods who reside with Lord Brahma in Satyaloka go to Vaikuntha in their present bodily constructions at the time of dissolution. This is what I was talking about in the last class. Therefore, although Hiranyakashipu had undergone severe austerities, Lord Brahma predicted that he had to die. He could not become immortal or even gain equal status with the demigods. The great austerities and penances he had performed for so many years could give him protection from death. This was foretold by Brahma. So here, when Prabhupada is using this word, that the first line, it appears that human beings and asuras are subject to death, whereas demigods are not. So basically, the long life of demigods is talked about. As compared to the human beings, it looks like the demigods are eternal. That's what the statement means. So demigods are not eternal. Demigods also have death. They are also stuck in the cycle of birth and death. Anything else? And also, before making the statement, we should think twice. Dashrath Maharaj made this statement to Kaikeyi. When Kaikeyi served him very nicely, so he had made a statement. You ask whatever you want, I'll give you. So it is said, when the person is very happy or the person is very sad, don't give any commitment to anyone. It's a Niti Shastra. From Niti Shastra, this is said. It's a Niti. It's a, it's a tip that is given. What is that tip? When we are very happy and when we are extremely sad, don't make any statement, don't give any promises. Come to normal, think about it and then make a statement. Here Brahma was so happy. Merrily kya ye sab. I'm so happy you have done for me. You ask whatever you want, I'll fulfill your desire. And then later Brahma says, oh, this I cannot fulfill. He only makes a statement. Okay, let's take questions now. A lot of questions are there. Can you repeat the names of three kleshas? Adi Atmika Klesha, sufferings caused by body and mind. Adi Daivika Klesha, Adi Bhautika Klesha, sufferings caused by other living entities. Adi Daivika Klesha, sufferings caused by Daiva, natural calamities. So Adi Atmika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika. These are the three. Accepting servant for everything, are we not losing self-respect? That's what master has self-respect, servant doesn't have. So, see, we cannot act. Let me tell you, we cannot act of being extremely humble or things like that. That will actually backfire us. So with time, naturally, when we are doing bhakti, naturally that those qualities will come. But yes, at least in devotee circle, we have to be very, very humble. Very humble. Especially in front of the Lord, especially when we are chanting, we should be very humble. So there is no question of self-respect. Even in devotee circle, even if someone hits us tightly, gives us a slap tightly, still we are like, oh, another cheek is still remaining. So there we accept the position of a servant. Yes, outside whatever is needful, that has to be done. because this age of Kali Yuga is full of demons. So if we keep taking the position of servant everywhere, then it becomes a problem. But internally, at least, we should understand that we are servant. Externally, we might act. Like as of now, all of us, including me, we are acting, right? We are acting that we are devotees. So yes, now with time we'll become devotees, no doubt about that. Similarly, outside, we can act that I'm a materialist, but inside we have to be a devotee. We have to be a servant within. So even when you're scolding someone, now we should actually feel guilt within, but still externally we don't show that guilt, but that guilt should come. Because what matters in spiritual life, the growth in spiritual life, is about what do we feel within, then how do we act outside, right? But then in devotee circle, both within and without, both are important. Hope this answers your question, Prabhu. Extending the above question, how can we differentiate between self-respect and ego in the devotional perspective? Self-respect and ego. So when it comes to self-respect, so in devotional, let me tell about the ego first. There's something called as false ego and true ego. So false ego means I'm the master and true ego means I'm servant. And when it comes to self-respect, actually both of them will be almost same, but ego is like you don't deserve something, but still, you want to, pose that, you should be given that respect. That is ego or false ego. And self-respect is like you're expecting whatever you deserve in material terms. But when it comes to devotional circle, when it comes to Krishna consciousness, self-respect and ego both are given up. Only true ego is there. That is I'm servant. So there's nothing called, firstly, there is nothing called a self when it comes to the devotional service. Self is only Atma, and Atma is servant of Krishna. And a servant will not have anything called a self-respect or ego. But only when this body is there, then this body, which we consider a self, it needs some respect. So when it comes to devotional life, both are not there. There's something called as true ego, and that is we are servants of Krishna. That is a true ego. What was the average life of human being during Satyaga? 1 lakh years is the average lifespan. And then with time, it has reduced. 110 will be removed. So Satyuga, 1 lakh. Then 10,000, Treta Yuga. And then Dwapar Yuga, 1,000. And then Kali Yuga, 100. And in the mid of Kali Yuga, 2030. Following regulative principles is one thing, but how to deal with situations which we know is taking us away from Krishna? Let's say conversations at work when one is expected to showcase mode of passion or something which is making us angry and we aren't able to control our emotions and end up reacting to anger. See, we are all neophytes. We are all neophyte devotees. So we are under the three modes of material nature. Passion will act and we will be there. We'll face this problem, no doubt. No doubt. And those situations, which are there, like the situation that you have mentioned, that is but obvious a part of our materialistic life. One thing that will help us is when we are at home, what sort of sadhana are we doing? Are we really strong in our sadhana? That's what will help us. So when we are strong in our sadhana and still in the outside world, when we have to pose something which we are not, still internally we'll be remembering Krishna and externally we'll be artificially acting, we'll be posing something which we are not to get some work done. So when our sadhana is strong, internally we'll always remember Krishna. And also it is recommended that when we are into some conversation with some people which is too materialistic and other things, we can chant internally. So chanting in mind is allowed, when it comes to because we cannot chant loudly, right? The person is talking about movies and he's talking about sports and this, and you are saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and he's like, "Kya suk suk kya kar raha hai?" So you might ask. So chanting internally, is what is it? Mentally, we can chant at that time, and a person can chant mentally only when the person has chanted physically nicely at home, or else Hare Krishna Mahamantra will not vibrate within. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. It's a practice, basically. It's a practice, we complete our 16 rounds, our prescribed rounds, and then, when we are out, when we are seeing, when you're talking to people and other things, internally the chanting is going on. It's a practice. So if we can come to that position of chanting internally when we're talking to other people, I think we will not go away from Krishna. We'll be always with Krishna. Chanting means always with Krishna. Or at least not chanting. Chanting might feel difficult, but at least internally we can pray to Krishna that look at my situation. I'm stuck. I cannot escape the situation. Oh Lord, please help me. Please help me. Please help me. This prayer can go on with him. Please help me. I'm stuck here. Something like that. Hiranyakashipu asking for a benediction, wasn't it begging like a servant and not ordering? We'll see. When Hiranyakashipu asks this benediction, we'll see. He begs like a servant and then later orders. And after getting the benediction, he becomes a master. He goes on to the next level. But one thing is there, that even if the begging mood is there, that begging mood is for what? To become a master. So there is no point of begging when a person wants to become a master. Right? So that begging will not be considered at all. Hope you understand what I'm saying. How one can get the actual love to Godhead? Okay. While chanting, rather than chanting for the sake of completing 16 rounds, give some tips. As love is natural, not by tapasya, some tips, cause we can think of Krishna in normal times, but while chanting, one gets more distracted than normal times. That's true. I totally agree. Mind gets the time to take us for a ride at that time. So as I've been telling in every class, that's how we start our class with. So purposely I start the class with preparing the consciousness, so that even when we are starting to chant, before that we prepare our consciousness. We pray to Krishna that look at my abominable situation, that my natural state of being is to remember you all the time, to chant all the time, but look at my state, how fallen I am. So when the person becomes extremely humble, at that time remembering Krishna becomes easy. So it is said that as the person goes down, the person will go up against the gravitational law. So the gravitational law says that if you go up, you'll come down. But here, the law of devotional service says as you go down, you will actually rise up. That is, as you become more and more humble, you'll rise higher. So we can focus on that now, to be humble. And how can we become humble? When we analyze our fallen state. Like for example, I can help you out. Like for example, when we can tell the Lord that while chanting, that look at my fallen state. Now beads are there in my hand, holy name is there on the tongue, but the mind is somewhere else. Mind is acting like a hog, trying to reject the rasgulla and trying to eat something abominable. Look at my situation, O Lord. And then we can also tell the Lord that how we don't have any taste for bhakti. That's the truth. I don't know about you all, but at least for me, there's no taste for bhakti. It becomes very difficult. Yes. So we can tell the Lord, look at my situation. This rare human form I've got, and I've got no taste for bhakti. Literally, I'm so abominable. I'm so abominable. A dog is much better than me, because a dog does not have intelligence. So it is just, hanging around and doing something nonsense. But me, having intelligence, having this rare human form, still I'm doing the activities of a dog. There's no difference between me and the dog. Oh Lord, see, look at my situation. Look at my situation. Ideally, I'm your servant. But look at my situation, that I'm trying to serve my senses. What sort of das I am? I'm a go-das. I'm not Krishna das. I'm a go-das. Go means senses. So I'm a das of senses. Now look at my situation. Oh Lord, without your mercy, I can never ever get closer to you. Without your mercy, without your blessings, I can never ever attain you. Without your mercy, I can never get closer to you and serve you. Without your mercy, I can never chant. I can never remember you. So only, O Lord, only when you shower your mercy, I'll be able to chant properly. So with the, my Shiksha Guru says, with the tears in the eyes, we should call out for the Lord that please help me. Please help me. This is what is my situation. So in Hindi it is said, Jo roya, wo Bhagwan Krishna ko paya. Anyone who cries will attain Krishna. So we cry out for Lord that please help me. Please help me. Please help me. And we'll be able to feel that helplessness when we realize we're helpless. When we realize that even when time is there, even when I've got a good healthy body, even when the beads are there and I've got energy in the body, still I'm not able to chant. Look at my state. It's almost like, now something is given to us, now some nice palatable food, and we're not able to eat. That's what is our situation. 16 rounds, and we can attain Krishna, but we are not able to do it. That's what is our helpless situation. The anarthas are pulling us back. The samskaras are pulling us back. At that time, we surrender to Krishna saying, oh Lord, I cannot do it by myself. There's a very nice song. Maybe you all can sing that song. In one of the class, we can sing, Ohe Vaishnav Thakur. In that song, the devotee is praying. He's saying, Eka ki amar nahi paya bal, harinama sankirtane. Alone, I alone can never chant the holy names. And then he says, oh Vaishnav, tumhi kripa kori shraddha bindu diya deho Krishna namadhane. If you shower your mercy, and if you shower your mercy and give me a drop of faith in chanting the holy names, then I can chant the holy names. Please, please help me. Please help me. And then we also say in that, the next line says, Krishna se tumara Krishna dete paro, tumara shakati ache amito kangala, Krishna Krishna boli dhai tava pache pache. Krishna is yours. Oh Prabhupada, Krishna is yours. Oh Gurudev, Krishna is yours. And you have the ability to give me Krishna. And what is my position? I am a beggar. I am a foolish beggar. And the only thing that I can do is just run behind you. You know, like the beggars run behind people to ask for money. Run behind you and call out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, you know, such verses can be used when we can come to this platform. And also another prayer that we can offer is, oh Lord, I don't want anything. I just want you. Even if I desire something, please don't fulfill that desire. I just want you. This is my only desire. So we can place such prayers, and you will see that you know, lots of improvement will be there. You know, at least such prayers have helped me to a very great extent, and many devotees who have implemented this, you know, prayers, you know, it's helping them also. So you can also try; it will surely help. Don't know how much to what extent, but surely it will help to some extent. What about chocolate? Since dark chocolates have caffeine, I sincerely left having any kind of caffeine. But coca is vegan. Why aren't we allowed to eat it? I don't think we need a discussion on chocolate. So firstly, people can follow 4 related principles. Then we can talk about this. There are various alternatives for chocolates also. So we can take that. And when it comes to anything that contains caffeine, so Prabhupada says, you know, that's an intoxicant. So it's, you know, so devotees sometimes they avoid that particular thing. But as of now, at the point where all of us are currently in it, it's not a very great thing. First, people should follow 4 regulative principles and come to 16 rounds, and then we can talk about various other things. Oh, today's attendance is 80. Thank you very much for coming. With non-devotees, how should we respond to situations that are harming self-respect? Need some practical tips on how to deal with the material world without getting pulled away from Krishna. Also, in material world, one may think one deserves something, whereas another may think he, she doesn't, does not. So is that self-respect or ego? These questions are really difficult for me to answer. I've given up my job. Okay, let me recollect some things, and you know, let me put some points here. See, when it comes to non-devotees, whatever is needful, that has to be done. So, if you remember, I had given one example. Once a snake was going around and trying to bite people. So at that time, Narad Muni comes and he says, you know, why are you like this so envious? Why are you biting people around? And the snake stopped biting because it became the disciple of Narad Muni. And then Narad Muni came next time. At that time, many kids were beating the snake. Then Narad Muni came there. He shooed all the boys and all the kids there. And then he asked the snake, what's wrong with you? No, why are you not defending yourself? You know, then the snake says, tells Narad Muni, you only said don't bite. Then Narad Muni said that I said don't bite. But I never said, don't show your fangs. Hmm? So wherever needed, we show our fangs. Yes, but we don't bite. Hmm? So one thing, which is very important is we take care of our inner consciousness. That is very, very important. Hmm? When it comes to non-devotees and we have to pose something else, whatever needful is there, we have to do. But internally, our prayer should be strong. So same thing, I'll repeat whatever I said before. Internally, our prayer should be strong, and that will happen when our sadhana is strong. And this really helps. Even when it comes to now, when we are brahmacharis, we have to deal with some materialists for some or the other thing. So they will talk something nonsense. So at that time, the only thing that we are able to do is pray within. And that really helps. That keeps us connected with Krishna at that particular moment. So if that particular moment we can stay connected to Krishna, then I think it will work. It will work. And then the other question is, one deserves something whereas another may think he, she does not. So is this self-respect or ego? So when it comes to material life, everything is an ego only. That I am something, I am something, I am something. So this we might feel that I deserve it, but the other person might feel, no, he doesn't deserve it. Right? It happens most of the time. So in this material world, everything that is there, when it comes to us, it's mostly ego, where we think that I am actually the right recipient for this particular thing. But when we become devotees, then we understand that if Krishna wants, anyways, he'll get it for me. If I deserve and Krishna feels, if I deserve, Krishna will anyways get it for me. But again, I would say that please, let's not implement such things artificially. With time, when our realizations become strong, with time when we become nice, pure devotees, automatically these things will manifest and we'll understand how to deal with people around. But as of now, since we are at a neophyte stage, we internally pray to Krishna and externally whatever is needful that we have to do. Or else, again, you'll come back and say, because of Kartike Prabhu's answer, I lost my job. So we are not currently there at some spiritual platform where we can deal with these people in a spiritual way. So whatever is needful, we have to do it and internally try to be Krishna conscious. Again, I repeat, this is possible only when our sadhana is strong. Chanting, reading, hearing has to be strong. That is the reason it is recommended before going to office, we complete our sadhana and then we leave to the office. Hope, Mataji, I answered your question to some extent. Does it really require to chant with count or simply keep chanting as much as we can without using beads? So we have to keep count for the prescribed rounds. So 16 rounds is a prescribed round for us. So we have to keep count for that. And other times we can keep counting without, we keep chanting without count. That's okay. I feel like I don't know how to pray or beg before Krishna. All I can say is, give me your bhakti, please. That's it. Please tell us how to pray. I mean, what and how to say. So I think I mentioned this. So I mentioned this point. We analyze our situation properly and we put forward to the Lord, this is how I am. So we need not do any extra endeavor. We just analyze our life and we just tell, look at me. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is how crazy person I am. This is how crazy person I am. And then we have to also understand that when it comes to me, I can never ever attain Krishna by my own endeavor. This has to be clear because our situation is like our hands and legs are tied. As I was telling in the other class, our hands and legs are tied. How can we climb the mountain? Very difficult, right? So this understanding has to come not to us. And how can we get this understanding? We are not able to chant our rounds properly. Just by this, that I'm not able to chant my rounds properly, should make us feel that I'm helpless, I'm handicapped, right? Because any person who is able to chant properly, it means, he's climbing the mountain. But for us, we are just there lying down, hands and legs tied, and we're not able to chant properly. So we have to feel that helplessness first, and then we can offer prayers. And obviously, we have a lot of prayers in Bhagavatam. Sri Ram Prabhu had compiled a lot of prayers from Bhagavatam. Maybe he can post the link in the groups. So, and your Bhaktivriksha leaders might help you to get these prayers. So those prayers, you can recite. Like I just recited one prayer, Nanaka Prashtam Nachapariyameshtam. So such prayers, when we recite more and more, and then we understand that what are we supposed to pray? And how are devotees begging? So by that, it will help. First is feeling helpless, and second, understand what prayers are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Desiring Krishna itself a greatest desire, then why Krishna will give this to Baddha Jiva like us? Yes, that's what is the point. This is where we will feel helpless. Yes, so we have to beg. They say, have you seen beggars, how they come behind? They'll just keep pulling till you don't give that person. Nowadays, 1 rupee ne 50 rupee that is, but still, the person will keep pulling. De de na, no? Kya bolte? Sir, ne sir ne, what do they call us? Long time I've not met any beggars. They'll keep pulling and saying, saab, ha, saab, de dije. Saab, dije na, saab, dije na. They'll just keep coming behind. What's that?
If you don't give them money, they'll scold and go.
Not now. I'm talking about previous times. So, you know, we have to do that to Krishna. You know, keep pulling dhoti of Krishna. Krishna, give me. You know, I want you. I want you. I want you. So, something like that. You know, we have to keep now begging the Lord without any interruption. I mean, our mood every day should be the same of a beggar. Every day when we are chanting, when we are doing devotional activity. So your point is absolutely correct. Why will Krishna give himself to us? We are Baddha Jiva.